I was telling Jen yesterday or the day before, sometimes when you get the opportunity to preach, sometimes it's like the Lord gives it to you, and it's in this nice little wrap box, and it's my job not to mess up the little nice wrap box. And other times it's just drops after drops after drops, and you got to just go, how am I supposed to put all this together? But I know one thing, and one thing above all things in this world, no matter where I've been in my life, I've always needed Jesus. Whether I was lost and undone as a 13-year-old boy who didn't know up from down and didn't know which way to go and knew nothing other than I knew Jesus was calling me, and or today as a 31-year-old man who knows, guess what? I still need Jesus as much as I did then as I do now, because I can't do this on my own. We can't live in this life on our own. We can't do day-to-day life as Christians and live the life we're supposed to live without doing it, without looking to Him and going, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How am I supposed to get through today without you? Because I need him. I'm just a simple man. I'm honestly just a weak, feeble, sinful man who left to my own devices will do all kinds of crazy things that are far removed from God. But I know that when I know that to get through my day and to have peace and joy and love everlasting, I have to have Jesus. And I know, thankfully, when I was saved as a 13-year-old boy, my peace and my joy and my salvation, it doesn't go away. It still is real today as it was when I got it at 13 years old. But to have that peace and that joy, I got to walk close to Him. Because when I don't walk closer to Him, so much stuff separates me from Him that I lose sight of my peace and I lose sight of my joy and I lose sight of who created the universe and who holds my hand and who loves me and who cares for me, because I'm too worried about the stuff that I've got in my life. I know that I need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. We all need Jesus. I don't care if you're the least of the least. I don't care if you're the small little baby or you're Roger Slayton. Guess what? We all needed Jesus. Roger needed Jesus. Everybody, every great man, every great woman, every man, boy and child has needed Jesus. And if you don't know Him this morning, I beg you to come find out. Whew, I didn't see that one coming. I just knew I need Him. If you want to turn in your Bibles, I'll be in the fourth chapter of the book of John. I preached this. I don't know that I've ever preached it here, but that's all I could think. Only thing that I could find peace with this week was this verse or this chapter, really. And it's a very familiar scripture. I love it, though. I don't care how familiar it is. It ought to all be familiar to me, but it isn't. You know, some of it I'm more familiar with than others, but this story I love dearly. We have the woman at the well. We have the woman here who's come in the middle of the day. She's come to the well to find some water. No doubt the Bible says she comes in the fourth chapter. I'm just going to start reading. I'm not going to try to get in his way. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, in the seventh chapter, it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I love this scripture, and I don't want to read the whole chapter, but I just want to follow the Lord this morning. But here we have Jesus. He's on his way, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus goes out of his way to go to a people that his culture didn't deal with. They didn't have any dealings with, the Bible says. They avoided each other. They didn't talk to one another. They disagreed on so much stuff that they just said, I'm not dealing with you, and we're not dealing with y'all, and we're just going to go our separate ways. And here we have Jesus. He goes, Jesus being the perfect man of God, he goes out of his way, and he goes at the right time, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And he sits on this well, and here comes this woman. And I was reading and I was studying a little bit. It says in that day that the drawing of the well, the women did that together. They went as a group to do this together. But here we have one woman who's by herself. herself, who's going to water in the middle of the day, and she is by herself, and there is Jesus, and he says, give me to drink. And she doesn't understand, but Jesus knows what he's doing. He understands. He knows everything about this woman. He knows that she is brokenhearted. He knows her circumstance. He knows her situation. He knows exactly what's going on with her life, but she doesn't realize that Jesus knows all that yet. A little further on, Jesus says, go call thy husband. The woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you've rightly said you have five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. This woman was a broken woman. No doubt she lived in shame. No doubt she lived a life that she was not proud of. No doubt she lived a life that she probably was shunned a little bit by the community. Probably the religious of the world, they probably said in her town, they probably said, you go over there and you just do what you want to. You do what you got to do, but don't let us catch you doing it. Let's not see you out in town. Let's not see you doing living your life. Let's not see. We don't want to see the sin in your life. We don't want to see the things that you're doing wrong. But Jesus. He goes to her in the middle of the day and tells her everything that she's done. He tells her all this stuff, but he doesn't condemn her. Jesus just got through telling Nicodemus in the third chapter. He says, He didn't send me to condemn the world, but through me I might be saved. He didn't come to look at her and say, this is what you're doing wrong, and I don't want to deal with you, and I don't want to see what you're doing. He's there to love her. He's there, not just to tell her, but to not judge her, but to sit here. And he's the one that can, let's be real. He is the Almighty God. He is without sin. He is without blame. But he does it. He loves her and he cares for her. Just like he loves and cares for me. No matter where I'm at, no matter where I've been in my life, no matter what shape I've been in, I needed him. And he showed up and he loved me and he's cared for me every step of the way. No matter how far I separate myself from him, he loves me and cares for me. Just like he does that woman in this story. We say this is a story. It really happened. I believe with all my heart that this really happened. This was a real woman. This is not just some fairy tale that's made up. This was an actual woman who is brokenhearted. And we may not have known this woman individually, but we've known people like her who is brokenhearted and then is just full of shame. I know I've been this woman. I'm so full of shame by my own actions and my sin that I just cannot do anything. I get in and I sit here and I feel like the prodigal son where he's in the pig pen, and he's just wasted everything he's had. He's given every opportunity. He's done nothing but just wasted. He, no doubt, he's living a shameful life. He's living so far away from what he thought he would be. He's living so far away from what he thought in his mind would be the perfect life, doing what he wanted to do. But just like the prodigal son, he had to go. The Bible says he comes to himself and he says, I'll just go be a hired servant for my father's house. This woman here, she's just going about her day. She's just going about her day, but Jesus passed by and changed her unlike anything we've ever known. He goes by and he changes her to the point. He goes on and the disciples show back up. And no doubt they're sitting here probably thinking, why are you talking to this Samaritan woman? Here we are, we got to go to this town. We got to go and here you are talking to a woman in the middle of the day. She's by herself. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? She doesn't say anything. The Bible says that he left her water pot and she went on and she started telling. Come hear a man who told me everything I ever did. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. There's something happened between that moment. I believe wholeheartedly that this woman realized it. Well, the Bible says, she says, thou art the Christ. And Jesus says, I that speak unto you am he. This woman, something about her changed in that moment when she come to know the Lord. Something about her, something in her spirit, something in her heart changed. Because here we have a woman, no doubt who was shame, who was full of shame, who was sinful, who no doubt was scandalous. She didn't want to deal with anybody. She probably just didn't. She knew that everybody knew what her situation was. She knew that everybody in town had something to say. Everybody in town had an opinion on her. But when Jesus passed by, their opinions didn't matter anymore. Because their opinions did not matter because the Messiah has come. The Christ is here. And He's here to tell me about everything I ever did. And He loved me and He cared for me. And He showed me a little bit of grace and a lot of mercy because He could have judged me, but He didn't. And so this woman knows, and she goes and she tells everybody. And I love what it says here. And Jesus goes on to talk to His disciples. In the 39th verse it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed of His own words. And said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Here we have this woman who was just wanting to tell people about Jesus. And something had happened to her. Her life had been changed. Somebody who didn't have any dealings with her. She knew exactly He was a Jew, and that the Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. She knew that this man has just come over here and is talking to a woman. And then he begins to tell her of everything she'd ever done wrong. He did it out of love. And this woman at this moment knows that I have to go tell somebody about this guy called Jesus. And she does, and she goes, and I can see the men or the other people in this town, they probably looked at her like, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Why? Why?" But I believe wholeheartedly that the countenance of this woman has changed to a point that they said, "Well, I guess I need to go see what she's talking about." Because worst case scenario, it's just some crazy talk and I'll just walk on and go about my day and nothing's really going to change. But maybe she's right. And maybe this is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that we've been looking for since the dawn of time, since we've been looking for since the fall in the Garden of Eden, the one that we have heard, we've been taught about that He's coming. Maybe this is Him. And I love. "Now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard Him ourselves." I may look like a crazy person up here. I may look like somebody who's just talking real loud. He's got a loud son. He might as well talk loud. I mean, my goodness. Where do you think his son got it from? Come on. This is real. There's nothing about me that says I want to do this. Nothing about Caleb and the sinful person that Caleb is, the 13-year-old boy who forgot his lines in a Christmas play, is scared to death to stand in front of a congregation. But I know that there's somebody that's greater than me that called me to do it. There's somebody that's greater than me that loved me enough that no matter where I am in my life, no matter what I've done, no matter how much sin I've committed, He still loves me. And He still cares for me. And he's never going to stop. That's the thing that blows my mind. I love my daughter and I love Jack. They're real small. And Raleigh can do things and say mean and hateful things. And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. And I can understand that. But Raleigh doesn't do anything that's that bad. Raleigh doesn't say anything that's really that bad. I know what the things I've said. I know the things I've done. I know what the standard of God is. And I know how far I fall short of that. But yet He still loves me because of Jesus. And I'm not asking you to believe because I'm a great speaker. I know that I'm not, but I want you to come find out for yourself. That's what happened to these people. It changed them forever because they found out about it themselves. They came and talked to Him themselves. It's not about what my mama can do for me. It's not about what my daddy can do for me. It's not about what my grandma or grandpa did for me. As a 13-year-old boy, I love this part of my testimony. Everybody's got their own. I'm going to take mine. I'm going to tell you mine again. As a 13-year-old boy, I was sitting in about the third row in the old Yellow Creek Church on the that side of the church. And my little brother had come to the altar. And me and my little brother were very close. And I had never been saved. I had never I had kind of felt the pressure to be saved, and I had felt that running feeling, that fearful feeling. No doubt, I've been lost for a little while. Can't really tell you the amount of time, but I was too prideful, and I was too scared to come up and pray. But that night on a Friday night, April 22nd, hey, that was not too long ago, was it? As a 13-year-old boy, the Lord came upon me, and I grabbed my grandmother, and I didn't know what to do. I knew what to do. Let's be real. I knew exactly what to do, but I didn't have anybody to turn to because Mom and Dad were in the altar praying. And I've never been one that's been very good. I need you to tell me what to do. I can't read minds. I can't. I'm real nervous. I have a lot of anxiety. I get real anxious, and I don't like to step out and do things that I don't like to do because I don't like to be uncomfortable. But I grabbed a hold of my grandmother, and she said, "You want to go pray?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I would love to." And me and her, we walked right down here, and I got on the floor, and I prayed. It seemed like I prayed an hour, but it might have been 10 minutes. I don't really know. It wasn't important. But in that prayer, I don't even remember what I prayed, but in that prayer, I remember somebody laying down and said, "Caleb, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. It's real to me. It's real in that moment that God is speaking to me, and all I have to do is accept what He's been given, and accept that this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't something that just has happened. There is documented cases. There is eyewitness accounts that are thousands of years old that this happened, that stand above the test of time. That throughout all of the time since this has happened, people have tried to debunk this. People have tried to say that this didn't happen. People have tried to say that this is all just a fairy tale, but they can't prove it. There is more evidence that this happened by more credible people that they can't take it away. They can't take away the crucifixion, and they can't take away the resurrection. This is a fact that this happened. All I'm simply asking you to do is come have a relationship with the man himself. He's not dead. He rose from the grave. He ain't dead. He ascended into heaven. He's right at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and I. And all He wants you to do is come, because His grace is sufficient. His mercy surpasses all, anything. I'm just a simple man. It surpasses anything I can possibly wrap my mind around. As y'all come with a song, I just want you to think about this for a minute. We all know great men. We all know great women. I love my grandmother. I love her to death. I mean, she's in heaven now with the Lord, and I love her just as much today as I did when she was alive. But her asking me to pray didn't save my soul. Her faith in God didn't save my soul. Her faith had nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation is a personal thing between me and Him. And I was thinking about this today. Jen and Raleigh went off somewhere, and it was just me and Jack all day yesterday. All day long. It was great. I don't ever get to spend a whole lot of time with just Jack. Because, you know, Raleigh's four. She's got something to say. She's always got something to do. She's always like, "Look at me, Daddy." And I'm always so happy to go, "Yes, ma'am, I love you. You're great. You're cute. You're beautiful. You're a handful." But in that short span of time with Jack, I thought about this for I don't get to spend as much time with him, but we have a God, a Father, mind you, that is personal, that spends so much time thinking about us. I'm not omnipresent. I can't be just as good a father to Raleigh and Jack and give them exactly the same amount of time and exactly everything they need all at the same time. But we serve a God, and I have a Heavenly Father that can do all those things. He loves me. He loves you. He loves each and every one of us more than we could possibly understand. What's your number?
Page 548.